Why did you and the Australia Institute come up with and form this committee?
We have all been concerned in various ways. Other members from Sydney are members of Transparency. I'm a member of the Accountability Roundtable in Melbourne, which is a group of non-partisan group of judges, professionals, academics, who are all interested in transparency and accountability in government. Now, all of us have been concerned about the fact that there is no anti-corruption commission in Canberra. Our argument is that really corruption follows money, power and influence. And the largest quantity by a very large margin of each of those is to be found in Canberra. So that, we think, is where corruption is most likely to be found.
I guess that makes a lot of sense.
That anyway is the basic thought. Corruption tends to be hidden, secret, and it's difficult to find and expose. We now have anti-corruption commissions in every state in Australia, and all of them, I think, are successful. And we're building on that with urging the people in the Commonwealth, particularly in Parliament, to set up a national anti-corruption commission. Now, that's where we're coming from.
Yeah, right. What kind of powers would this committee have? I guess it is a bit odd that Canberra would be the last place for this kind of committee to come up in. What kind of powers would this committee have?
It would have the powers that are usually given to royal commissions. It's not unusual. Royal commissions usually have the powers to require people to give evidence on oath, either in private or in public, in circumstances where they don't have the ability to refuse to answer questions, even if they might incriminate. The commission has the power to seize documents. These commissions usually have are granted the ability to bug telephones, but they're very important in the war against corruption. But these are powers that many, if not most, royal commissions have. So going back, if you like, as far as 1983, when the Painters and Dockers Commission was operating, led by Frank Costigan, QC.
Yeah, right. Well, as you said, we already do have a couple of corruption groups, such as ICAC, that already investigate corruption. So how would you and this and the new commission operate differently to those kind of other corruption agencies?
Okay, well, ICAC is the specifically New South Wales Commission Against Corruption. In Victoria, it's called IBAC, the Independent Broad-Based Anti-Corruption Commission. But these are, and as I say, each state has one of these, but there is none in Canberra. Now, Canberra is the place where most of the spending, the money power and influence in Australia is to be found. And if you take, for example, the Defence Department, for example, that spends enormous amounts of money, 50, 60 billion a year, if you have been following it, there have been recent detailed reports of systemic fraud in the Defence Department, and that sparked an internal audit of the Defence Department. This was reported in the newspapers in December of last year.
Yeah, right.
Now, it's the Commonwealth's biggest spender. The allegations included that the department staffers were colluding with contracting companies to design well-paid jobs for them, and the department was awarding contracts to companies without any competitive tender process. Now, these things were enough to send all sorts of warning lights flashing around Australia.
Definitely. Now, who would the members of this commission be, I guess, apart from yourself?
The members of the group who are pursuing the setting up of the Anti-Corruption Commission, there's David Ipp and Anthony Whealy and Paul Stein. Each of them are retired Sydney judges, and each of them have had a position on the ICAC in Sydney. In Melbourne, there's David Harper and myself, we're both retired judges, and there's Margaret McMurdo, who was the president of the Court of Appeal in Queensland. Those are the six members of the group. We are arguing that the Commonwealth should set up this commission, that there should be a bipartisan committee which chooses the commissioner for the federal integrity body, and that is how it should be set up. The way in which these bodies can be set up is fairly well understood now, they having been set up all around Australia in each state.
Yeah, so I guess bringing quite a bit of experience to the table. Now, I guess the big question is, how do you hope the federal government is going to react to the this commission?
Right. First, we have to persuade the coalition to support the view that there should be an anti-corruption commission federally. A number of the crossbenchers have already indicated their support for the proposal. And in the first week in February this year, Bill Shorten announced that at the next election, Labor would support the proposal for the setting up of a National Integrity Commission. We believe that there are a number of people in the coalition who already support the proposal, but I think the coalition as a whole still needs to be persuaded that it is a good idea. Our understanding from recent polling is that somewhere around 80% of the community believes that a National Integrity Commission is necessary, and we are hoping that if the members of the coalition are persuaded of that and of the force of our arguments, that they will agree and support the proposal at the next election.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see whether they stick to their gun on that one, and whether this commission, this National Integrity Commission, comes up and is put to the table. Thank you so much, Stephen, for enlightening us on this subject this morning.
Okay, it's a pleasure, James.